Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. How's everyone doing this awesome feast Sabbath day? Praise Yahweh. Now, about a year ago, Pastor gave us an assignment, and he told us to find out how Yahshua came from the bloodline of Yosef. Now, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to have to move a little bit fast, but so pay close attention. Now, the very first thing that we need to understand and keep in mind throughout this sermon is that the bloodlines that were written by man got all screwed up. And Pastor told us that. He said that the bloodlines that were written by man, the written genealogies, were all screwed up, so we can't put our stock in them. Now, most of this information is coming out of the 7th Book of Israel, Part 1. And I'll be reading from Chapter 1 in verse 74. He talked about the bloodline and how Yahweh didn't set priests through bloodline, but through righteousness. And he said, if you're righteous, then I'll make you a priest, and you'll keep my laws and teach the people. So he says, it's not based on that. It's based on righteousness, and that's how Yahshua got it. He obtained this great ministry by perfect righteousness, by submitting. So he obtained this ministry, and he had to, in order for him to become high priest over the house of Yahweh. So the Jews are the ones that stuck on the bloodline. They want to do everything according to bloodline, but then they realize it all got screwed up. Now, if you remember when Pastor gave us this assignment, he told us to go back and read the sermons he gave on Ruth and Boaz, on Rhea and Boaz. And if you remember, they came from Bethlehem. It says they came from Bethlehem of Yada. So Pastor told us a little bit about Bethlehem. He said, this is in chapter 4 and verse 35 of the same book. Now, I know there's been some questions about what I brought out about Bethlehem. And that's because you're confused. You don't know everything about Bethlehem. But there's more than one Bethlehem mentioned in the scriptures. There's a Bethlehem in Judea, and he brought out that's the one where the Pope goes to celebrate Easter and all this stuff. He said that's not the one. That's not the one Yahshua had anything to do with. I don't think he even got near that place. But there's one in Abel, of course, and that's the one you see mentioned in almost all the scriptures, where Ephraim, who was the son of Yosef, remember, where Ephraim was, and that's where he was trained, and so were all the prophets, but it was at Abilene. So Rhea and Boaz, if you remember the story, there was two sons of Elimelech, and they took wives, Rhea and Orpah, who were the daughters of Naomi. Orpah was pretending to be a believer in the house of Yahweh. She wasn't really a believer, but Rhea was a believer. Remember, Orpah left when the choice arose, when the choice came. But there was a work of Yahweh going on at that time at Abel, at Shiloh, at Bethlehem of Yada. Remember, the ones who praise Yahweh, the ones who worship Yahweh. But the message was going out to all the surrounding territories, including the Moabites. Rhea was a Moabitess. And this is the same thing that took place with Rahab, who is also in the bloodline of Yahshua. Now, so this family, Rhea, Orpah, and Naomi, Orpah left off, they were going to that group of believers in the house of Yahweh. So where were they and who were they? These were the ones training to become priests, just like we have today. The prophet Samuel came from this group. This is where the judges came from, as well as Yahshua ben Nun. If you read the book of Judges and see where each one came from, they all came from that area. Now, this is not to be confused with the kings that were set by man, but the judges that Yahweh himself appointed. In chapter 4 and verse 60, it says, notice at Shiloh. Well, what in the world is Shiloh? If you remember, Khan Yehuda brought out it, speaking of Abel. This is where the feasts were kept until the kings that were chosen by man, like Rehoboam, told them to keep them elsewhere. This is where they were kept originally. So get this. This is where the judges took their seat. And I want you to remember that, where they took their seat, that word seat. Once they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh, this is 1 Samuel 1 verse 9, Hannah rose up. Now Eli was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the house of Yahweh. Look who else took their seat there. Rhea 4 verse 1. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and taken a seat there. Now, of course, he was on vacation, right? He pulled up a lawn chair and went out and sat by a gate by the house of Yahweh, right? Because it was a great place to sit by the sun and everything. So, of course not. He was a judge, just like Eli was. So look who else was there. 1 Samuel 10, verse 18. Then Shaul approached Samuel by the gate. So he was sitting out here by a gate, too. These were judges who were the priests of Yahweh, taking their positions just like Moshe had appointed. The captains of hundreds, captains of tens, captains of thousands, 50. And that's who Rhea and Boaz were traveling to. Now, It was in the hill country of Ephraim, the son of Joseph. Ephraim was also a judge trained at Abel. Now the Levirate law, if you remember the Levirate law, it spoke about if a woman had her husband died, then a brother, of course not a physical brother because that's unlawful, it causes STDs and confusion and all that stuff, but a brother in the house of Yahweh takes her and carries on that name. This had to take place in order for Yahshua to be born. And if you remember, Pastor said that the tribes could intermarry. He gave us that and said, remember that, they could intermarry. So, Rea chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. So, the Redeemer, about whom Boaz had spoken about. Boaz is back here sitting in his lawn chair, right, in front of the gate of the house of Yahweh. Then the Redeemer came by. And Boaz said, come aside, sit down here, my friend. So now there's two of these guys sitting in lawn chairs, right? He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit here. And they sat down. Now there's 12 men out here sitting in lawn chairs on vacation. Of course not. These are the judges. These are the people assigned by Yahweh. This was Saul set up. It was prearranged. You could call it a court appointment. And if you read the whole chapter 4 of the 7th book of Israel, it explains this in really great detail. But I want you to get this. If you, let's see, I'm gonna just read verse 104 and 105. It says, Boaz said to all the elders of the people, you are witnesses that I have bought everything that was Naomi's and everything that was Rhea's, and or everything that was Chilon's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi and Rhea. I have also bought Rhea to establish the name of the dead on his inheritance. And but then notice he was from Ephrathah, that is Abilene, and bestow a name in the house of bread. So Boaz, who was also a judge, he was this Ephrathite from Bethlehem of Yada, those who worship Yahweh, from the hill country of Ephraim, he was from Ephraim, took Rhea as a wife. He begot Obed, who begot Yishai, who begot David. So that's pretty much how Yahshua's bloodline stemmed from Ephraim. Because Boaz was from the tribe of Ephraim, he took Rhea, the Moabitess, and they, of course, begot Obed, Yishai, and David, who begot Yahshua later down. Praise Yahweh. Now remember, this is not the Bethlehem that the Pope goes to celebrate Easter. This is the Bethlehem of those who worship Yahweh, Bethlehem of Yada. Now, some scriptures for your notes. Micaiah 5, verse 2. 1 Samuel 17, verse 12. Matthew 2, verse 1. And 5 through 6. And also read Genesis chapter 37 through 39. And that will show you the difference in characters between Yosef and Yada. Because remember, we were going for a long time, Yahshua was from the tribe of Yada. Read the difference in characters of those two, and you'll see why it's so important. Now, one last scripture, and I'm really going to have to hurry on this one, is Genesis chapter 48, verse 13 through 14, and 17 through 19. And I'm only going to read verse 19, because this is where Jacob was blessing Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Yosef. And you remember, he crossed his hands over to put his right hand on Ephraim's head. And Yosef said, no, 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 this one's the firstborn. Manasseh is the firstborn. But he said, no, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations. Now, so he's just going to become a whole bunch of nations, right? Remember the group of believers that worshipped Yahweh. This word translated descendants in Genesis chapter 48:19 is word number 2233 from 2232 in Strong's. It's the Hebrew word zera or zara, and it means seed, descendants, offspring, but it also means a group of people marked by a certain moral quality. So remember this group of believers, the certain people marked by Yahweh, marked by the certain moral quality. The word translated multitude is from the Hebrew word melo. It's 4393 from 4390, and it means to consecrate to a priestly service and to install someone in the position of priest or authority. And then the word nations is heathens, goy, the word heathens. So Genesis 48:19 says, his younger brother Ephraim will be greater than he, and his seed will be installed and consecrated as a priest to the Gentiles. Speaking of Yahshua. So hopefully we can all get a basic point, and I'm sure a lot more things will be brought out about this, of how Yahshua came from the tribe of Yosef and Ephraim. And if there were some things y'all missed, I can try to get with y'all after services or something on the words or something. And, yeah, so if you'll all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Tovia Hawkins.
Watch them. You may be seated. Today, one of the subjects I'm going to be covering is the high cost of sin, which is the theme of this feast exhibit. And I encourage you, if you haven't went down there, as Pastor did yesterday, go down there and look at everything, and look at the plaques, and look at the money that is spent on this system, okay? This system of continual war, vengeance, and retaliation of the people and by the people. Now, you remember when Pastor spoke last, he mentioned Samuel. He mentioned 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 10. I'd like to read that now. This is something we've all read, but we just want to refresh it in our memories, okay? It says, Samuel spoke all the words of Yahweh to the people who had asked him for a king. And Samuel said, "This is how the king you desire to reign over you will behave. He will take your sons and appoint them to serve in his chariots. Some will drive his chariot horses, others will run in front of his chariots. He will appoint captains over his armies, and captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds. Your sons will plow his grounds, others will bring in his harvest, and others will manufacture weapons of war and equipment for his chariots." So you notice right there, he just named everything that has to do with about this beastly system, bringing about the malice and the pain and the suffering. Jump down to verse 17. "He will demand a tenth of your sheep, and you yourselves will become his servants." And we know how it turned out. You know, however, the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning and answered, "No, we want a king to raise over us." So they rejected Yahweh's government of unity, as Pastor's been bringing out, this body of priests, a family, governed by unity, all in unity with the one sent, our pastor and overseer, Ezra Hawkins. So I'd like to play the first video really quick. And it's a little fuzzy. The videos didn't download quite properly, but pay attention to everything that they're talking about, because there's a lot of information and a lot of numbers in these few video clips here. You can go ahead and play the video.
People have to realize that 53 cents of every dollar that they're paying in taxes is going to the military. It's an astonishing figure. There's an enormous, enormous amount of money being blown on war and killing and destruction. But
well, break this down. Break this down a little bit. You know, how much money, where's it going?
Well, look, there's a $3 trillion 2011 budget proposal. It'll probably go a little higher, but they always do. But, you know, so let's round it up, $3 trillion that is being proposed for the next year. And of that, that includes a direct Pentagon budget request of $717 billion at this point. That'll also rise, as it always does. There's a proposal for $158 billion. They call it contingency fund for the two wars, but that'll rise. Then you got $40 billion in black box intelligence funding that doesn't get written in the budget, but really
what is that?
They never tell us how much they spend on the CIA and the NSA and the DIA and all these different intelligence activities, which are all war-related. But a couple of years ago, there was a error in testimony in the Congress that leaked that the black budget on intelligence was $37 billion. But I suspect that it's probably closer to $50 or $60 billion, because if you think about it, the CIA is basically running the Predator operation in Pakistan, and that's got to be hugely expensive. So, you know, I suspect that the intelligence budget is probably much more than $40 billion I gave it. Then you got another almost $100 billion in non-Department of Defense military spending. And that includes things like the military portion of NASA, military spending by the State Department. Remember, they hire all those military contractors to guard their embassy operation in Iraq and their embassy operation in Afghanistan and so on. It's pretty bad. The Homeland Security budget that is largely military, and then the VA, $123 billion in veterans benefits for the damaged goods from all our wars. And finally, there's $400 billion in interest on the debt to pay for our prior wars. And that's just the interest. So that all adds up to $1.6
trillion. $1.6
trillion,
and sort of like, how does that compare to the recent health care bill? Like, what's the...
Oh, the recent healthcare bill was $1 trillion for 10 years, over 10 years. But we're talking about $1.6 trillion in 1 year.
$1.6 trillion. So we could have... Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Next time you hear that the government needs to cut funds for providing medical care to the children of laid-off workers, or that supplemental unemployment funds are running out, next time you hear that federal funds that are needed to fund extra teachers at your school are being cut, or that Social Security benefits need to be cut back, or retirement age needs to be increased to 70, next time you hear your local post office has to be shut down for lack of funds, next time you hear that Medicare benefits need to be reduced, think about that 53% of your tax payment that's going to finance the most enormous war machine the world has ever known. The most enormous war machine the world has ever known. And that's the truth.
One, start with the total operational costs to date, including tanks, combat pay, military training, military bases, and embassies. Two, add additional military costs outside war spending. The military's budget is rising at a rate faster than any time over the last 40 years, and you can attribute that indirectly to the war. 3. Correct for inflation over the past 5 years. 4. Add operational and peacekeeping costs before and after the troops withdraw, since it's estimated that the U.S. will stay in Iraq in some capacity for another decade. 5. Add future health care for approximately 2.1 million returning veterans affected by war. 6. Add cost of restoring the military back to pre-war strength, because the Defense Department is not replacing equipment as fast as it's used. 7. Add Social Security to veterans who can no longer work. The total cost of war to the federal government is $2.2 trillion. 8. Add interest, since the war is funded primarily from borrowed money. 40% of the war's budget came from foreign countries, and they'll collect interest on it for many years. The total budgetary cost of the Iraq War is $2.8 trillion. Next, we calculate the cost to society. Add the loss of economic output from soldiers' death and disability. The government pays a dead soldier's family $500,000, a sum that's less than what he would earn by pursuing a normal life. And finally, the large-scale economic impact of a war financed by deficits that will divert funds from schools, roads, and research, all against the backdrop of rising oil prices, pushes the tally of war costs over 50 times the original estimate.
This is a $1 bill. Have you ever wondered what $1 million would look like in $1 bills? How about a billion in ones? That's 1,000 million. Here it is. How about $1 trillion? You know how much that is? It's 1,000,000,000,000.
I don't know if
million.
You can see it, but that's 765 feet tall.
If you earn $1 every second, you'd become a billionaire in 32 years. But it would take more than another 31,000 years for you to make $1 trillion. $1 trillion stacked on top of each other would reach nearly 60,000 miles into space. It would take more than 44,000 18-wheel trucks carrying a load of 25 tons each to transport $1 trillion. Then again, it may be more convenient to simply use one of these.
There's, you can see how the money's being spent on war and the amount of money that's being spent. And I put that video in there in the end to kind of show what $1 trillion is, because it is a lot of money when you talk about spending $1.6 trillion, and that was in 2011, on war in 1 year. That's a large sum of money. So I have an article here I want to read real quick. The USS George Washington, one of the Navy's 11 aircraft carriers, needs money for fuel, and a gas card won't do it. It will take several years to refuel an aircraft carrier and cost more than $1 billion, okay? And these are nuclear-powered, so what they're doing is they're actually taking out the old uranium and refueling it with new uranium. So they're actually pulling apart the reactor, and I have a little bit on that. So it takes a lot of time and money to do these things, okay? But it says, but the squeeze has real-world consequences. Congress insists the Navy keep 11 aircraft carriers afloat. Right now, budget forces are conspiring to kill at least one of them. Since the USS George Washington is supposed to begin refueling in the refueling cycle in 2016, the refueling costs are highly vulnerable to budget cleaver. Okay? So this is a major ship here. This is one of their main ships. It ports in Japan. But let me show you this really quick here. This is a picture of the USA versus global spending. Okay? And here's the United States. Here's what we spend on our military a year. Here's the next 15 countries. So it takes 15 countries to equal what we spend. The closest is China, $102 billion. We spent $645 billion in 2012 on our military. That's just on the direct cost of the military. So you can see here the cost of it. And let me show you. So it says, in the fiscal year of 2014, the federal government will spend around $3.8 trillion. So that's this year coming up. We're going to spend $3.8 trillion on war, okay? But just think about what that money could be used for if we put it into something like this. Just give us $1 billion and see what we could do with it, okay? We could do a lot more solving problems and fixing this and having the solution to the problem versus all the money that's being spent elsewhere. So with this, you know, have a wonderful and great Sabbath day. And with this, I'm going to turn it over to the great Con Elia.
Everyone may be seated. This morning we've got some news, and I want everyone to pay close attention. The first article is going to be about the 24-year-old man who suffocated his child so he could continue playing video games. Now, keep in mind, we're going to have some articles following up showing how they're using war games to prepare. The United States and Russia are using war games. And remember, these soldiers are trained on the very same games that this young man was playing that killed his child. So they're setting the minds of these people to do so. And also keep in mind that there's a region in Russia that's very important to everyone, and they describe it pretty clearly. So at this time, if we could play the news.
I'm Gail Searins. Thank you for joining us this evening. We begin with that breaking news in Citrus County tonight. A father told investigators he killed his little boy so he could continue to play video games. They arrested Cody Wigand off Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa. News Channel 8's Chip Osowski has the latest on this breaking story.
Guys, as a parent, this is one of those cases that makes you absolutely sick. 24-year-old Cody Wigand faces third-degree murder and willful child neglect charges. He's currently being held here at the Citrus County Detention Facility. We were met with hostility from neighbors on Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa when we tried to find out if they knew what happened. Investigators believe Wigand suffocated his one-year-old son, Damien, because he wanted to continue playing video games. They tell News Channel 8 Wigand confessed to this horrific crime. Here's what Citrus Sheriff Jeff Dossie had to say. Quote, it's inconceivable. A father could kill his infant son. It just baffles the mind. Our only sense of relief now comes from knowing that we did exactly what we needed to do to bring justice to him swiftly. Our prayers go out to those who knew and loved Damien. Wigand should make his first appearance before a Citrus County judge first thing tomorrow morning. Reporting in Citrus County, I'm Chip Osowski, News Channel 8.
The United States is planning to deploy soldiers to Poland and Estonia for upcoming military exercises there. Western sources say the drills, which are expected to last for about 2 weeks, would follow Russia's military buildup near its border with Ukraine. No specific date has been announced for the U.S. deployment, which usually consists of 150 soldiers. U.S. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel recently said Washington is looking for ways to reassure its NATO allies of its strong commitment to collective defense. American troops are already holding a joint exercise with Romania. NATO has also beefed up its air patrols over the Baltic Sea following the recent events in Ukraine and Crimea's unification with Russia.
Got some breaking news overnight on Iran. Yet again, that country said to be on the move yet again. State TV saying that two of its warships are on their way to the Atlantic on their Navy's first ever mission there. I want to bring John Bolton in now. Former ambassador to the United Nations and a Fox News contributor in L.A. today, Mr. Ambassador, good morning to you out there in California.
Good morning, Bill.
I want to show our viewers quickly on the map what we believe to be Iran is up to now. Off the southwestern coast here of Iran, Navy's 5th Fleet, by the way, just across the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz, that choke point that's been talked about for so long, such a source of contention now between the oil route between Iran, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. The idea here is to go back through the Suez Canal out into the Mediterranean, advance it one time here. But that's not really new, because several months ago, Iran parked a warships off the coast of Syria. But now what it wants to do is take these ships out through the Mediterranean into the Atlantic Ocean. And Mr. Ambassador, why are they doing this now? They must feel really good with all this attention.
Well, they certainly do, and they have reason to feel good, as the November agreement from Geneva on the Iranian nuclear program takes effect. That agreement represents a significant victory for Iran. They made temporary, easily reversible concessions on their nuclear program. They've broken through the Western regime of international sanctions. And the sending of these two warships is a political signal to the United States, to the other countries in the region, that Iran feels good and is trying to project power. And I think this is something that that we should take very careful note of. They do not feel constrained by us or now by the international sanctions.
So it's your sense that we're actually giving them a platform.
Why does Russia care? Let's look at this next map. We've heard a lot about Sevastopol. This is the Black Navy, the Black Sea Fleet for the Russians. It's their only warm water port. All their ports up here in wintertime, often not accessible. And this one here is so key because it gives them access to the Mediterranean and then out to the Atlantic here. And this is the key national security for interest, really, when it comes to Ukraine and Crimea. And that's why when those 6,000 troops first moved into the Crimea, this is where they went first, right around Sevastopol. And it shows this is a key issue. It's not just for the West, certainly for Russia.
Hey, glad you're up. Russia flexing its muscle now by sending a nuclear message to America. Got a spokeswoman for the Pacific Air Force in Hawaii confirmed that just days ago, two nuclear-armed bombers from Russia circled the U.S. territory of Guam before being intercepted by American military jets. Is this proof that Russia is becoming a greater threat to the U.S. than the administration has led on? Known all along, but doesn't want to tell us. Bill Gertz, senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon, joins us live from Washington. Bill, what do you read into this?
Well, Brian, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, when I asked the Air Force spokeswoman why the Russians were doing this, she told me to ask the Russians, which is kind of a joke. I think this was clearly a simulated nuclear attack on the United States, and it's not the first time. This is actually the third incident where Russian strategic bombers have come close to U.S. coasts. The last one in June was part of a major strategic exercise where a Russian general actually said they were practicing targeting our missile defense bases in Alaska and California.
What's our response been?
Silence, pretty much. The administration is trying to salvage their reset policy, which has been pretty much a disaster. It's been totally one way. The U.S. makes concessions, the Russians pocket them and continue on a more aggressive and more anti-democratic posture.
Now, why do you think that is? I mean, it didn't seem that long ago where George Bush was riding around with Vladimir Putin and they talked about a new era in U.S.-Russian relations. What has gone wrong? What is their complaint with us?
Well, the Russians under Putin are trying to move back into the Soviet period. They see that as the glory days, and they're rebuilding their military. They're building up their nuclear forces in a major way. At the same time, the U.S. is getting ready for further nuclear cuts.
And that is happening right now. We want to cut our arsenal by another third.
Everyone will please stand. At this time, we'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Gisrael Hawkins. Shalom, everyone.
Wow, what a beautiful sight. You're doing great. How long could we keep this up? Okay, let's go. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Praise Yahweh. As you can see, the world is preparing for war, for nuclear war. And that's what I want to show you. It's going to be rather devastating. Now, the warnings, of course, the Taos of Yahweh is sending out is about nuclear war. The House of Yahweh claims this is a news release that's going out to all news agencies in the world. It's global. The House of Yahweh claims parents and guardians should prepare children for nuclear war. That's up to 66,470 news agencies now that are now running this article on their internets as well as their radios, television, so forth, newspapers even. CBS, ABC, NBCs, they're all there running these articles for us. Nuclear war is coming. This is the next one. Nuclear war is coming, but there is a place of safety, says the House of Yahweh newsletter. That's up to 72,000. 72,239 news agencies running that globally now. Globally. The next one, the House of Yahweh posts new publication that uncovers cause of extreme weather. That's up to 85,629 and still climbing. 85,629 news agencies on their internet now advertising that for the House of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. The Pope is doing his part. Pope Francis, he's handing out envelopes on Easter to the hungry beggars. And that's what it says. Beggars in Rome. Now, why do they have hunger in Rome? Why do they have hunger on the seven hills of Rome? And the Vatican living so lavishly, the richest organization on the face of the earth, the one that stole all the wealth from the so-called temple that was the House of Yahweh, that we're going to start demanding that they bring back to the House of Yahweh. He is also kissing an idol. They called it an idol of Christ. Now, of course, he knows that Christ is not the name of Yahshua, Messiah. It's not the name of the Savior. He knows that. He knows it's a pagan god, and he was kissing the wounds that was put in this pagan god. I don't know if they hung that god Christ. I don't think they did. I think it was a pharaoh that died lavishly, but he was kissing an idol, and while he was kissing that idol, now on Easter, 41 people shot while he was kissing this idol of Christ on Easter. 41 people shot. 16 of them were shot on Easter Sunday. Yes, Pope, did you hear that while you were kissing that idol? That should tell you something. While you were kissing that idol and making out like you were righteous, what does that have to do with righteousness, kissing an idol? What is righteousness? If it's kissing idols, we all need to get us some idols and start kissing them, don't you think? But these same people that kiss these idols go out shooting people on Easter. So it must not have anything to do with Easter. Is that getting through to you, Francis? Any at all? What is righteousness? Is it kissing an idol? No, it's not bringing you any righteousness. It's not bringing the world any righteousness. When will you wake up to the fact that what you need to do is tell these people to repent of sin? And you need to repent of sin. Don't just say, I repent. You need to repent of sin.
And that will stop if you will tell the people, repent of sin, be converted. You convert to righteousness. Righteousness is keeping the laws of righteousness. That's what Yahshua said, seek first the righteousness of Yahweh and His kingdom. Not the seven hills of Vatican kingdom, but Yahweh's kingdom. While you were kissing that idol, three deadly gun attacks in eastern Ukraine shakes fragile Easter truths. Already a fragile Easter truth. While you were kissing that idol, children were being prescribed codeine that you're getting rich off of, I know, through your pharmaceuticals. And Yahweh says you won't repent. Read Revelations 9. He says you won't repent of this. You're going to go on giving these babies codeine, even though you know it's killing them, running their brains. But you will continue in this, Yahweh says. Let me read it to you, Pope Francis. Chapter 9 of Revelations. After it shows the great river Euphrates here, of which you're causing the wars, you're going to cause a third of the people over that fourth of the earth to be killed with famine and nuclear wars coming very soon. It's building, as the news shows. These people are not wrong either. The scriptures show the same thing. Then in verse 20, the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. Oh, that's what that idol that you were kissing represents. It represents a demon, Francis. Did you know you were worshiping Satan's demons when you do that? Gods. That's what Yahweh said, don't worship. He told you that in Genesis. He said, don't worship these. That you do evil when you worship these, you do evil. Evil is the worship of these demons. And Satan says, you won't die, go ahead and worship these demons. It's desirable. Then you will be like these demons that they call gods. Gods of gold and silver and brass and so forth. Yes, you're worshiping these planes that you fight with now, and the missiles and the nuclear bombs, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, but you can push a button and send them to kill your enemies, can't you? Neither did they repent of their murders of children, as we see from the news article showing the drugs that you're giving them, nor from their sorceries. That word sorcery means pharmaceuticals that you're getting rich off of. I know that's the reason you don't condemn it, because more money is flowing into the Vatican from these sorceries than any other cause. The rest is coming from your fornications and from your theft, like the theft that you took from the house of Yahweh when you sent Titus to tear it down. Let's turn over. That's not the sermon. Let's go over to Revelations 21. Revelations 21. We're going into a very horrible time here. There's going to be a great burning take place, and I hope to make you understand that this is caused by mankind. It's not going to be brought by Yahweh by any means. In fact, He's warning you not to do these things, warning you that if you continue in these sins, these sorceries, that this is what's going to take place. Revelations now, 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving. You say you don't believe? You're telling Yahweh to His face you don't believe Him? yeah, that's what you're doing, and you'll have your place in this burning fire. Whether you believe it or not, you'll have your place there. Or simply not believing all that the prophets have spoken and not trying to understand. Not seeking His house or His righteousness. That's what you're supposed to do. And when you come here, that's what you're supposed to come here for. It's not to find you a man or a woman. That's not the reason to come to the house of Yahweh. seek the place that Yahweh chooses to place his name and seek his righteousness there. That's what we're teaching, his righteousness. We're teaching you to obey his righteousness. His righteousness, don't be deceived, 1 John 3:4-8 says, is practicing the laws of righteousness. That's his righteousness. His laws, 613 perfect laws that will bring peace, it will stop wars, it will stop hunger, it will stop sickness and disease. You will have no more headaches. You will have no more coughs. You will have no more pain, period. And there will not be death anymore. I was telling someone the other day when they the threats were building against my life, I said, you know, I wouldn't mind dying. I never feared death. But I hate death, and therefore I do want to live, and I do want to put a stop to death. That's what I want to do. But praise Yahweh. But if I was chosen to die for the glory of the work or for Yahweh, I wouldn't mind that. I don't think I could. I don't think I could be as brave and strong as the Apostle Kepha. You know, in his quest to be put upside down and die, boy, you talk about bravery. but anyway, the fearful and unbelieving, the unbelieving, you know, the fearful and the unbelieving. Well, they're afraid, and they're going to get much more fears brought, you know, from the things that's taking place and going to take place in heaven and earth, because there's going to be some hellacious burning take place. If you'll turn over to Malachi, there's no way you could say this in words and get the point across as to what this is actually showing is going to take place, because we're living in a sheltered world, even with the wars going on. We're living in shelter. We're living in a world where, you know, even in the days of war, people are still trading you know, going out and sinning, following their lust and so forth. Well, here in Malachi, he says, "For behold, the day comes that will burn like an oven. And all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly, including the fearful and unbelieving, will be as stubble. The day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, and it will leave them neither root nor branch." Now, this is going to start, of course, with nuclear burning, as is shown in Revelations. I brought out the other day about water, and how water is actually H2O. And of course, if you've never studied biology, you probably wouldn't understand what I'm talking about, but it wouldn't hurt to take a short course in biology if you still can't understand after this sermon. But water is H2O. That's two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. And when it's a very explosive thing, and the earth is full of it, the oceans are full of it. But when I brought this out last week or a few weeks ago, I guess someone had never studied biology or never, maybe no education at all, but certainly in the Holy Scriptures we see this. But the water above the earth and in the firmament itself, that could be explosive under certain circumstances. Now, I remember a lesson from one of the teachers in biology that also studied the Scriptures, and he and I talked quite a bit, and he brought some very basic lessons in water. You know, you mix hydrogen and oxygen in a cutting torch, as any welder knows, and you can cut a car in two or a plane in two or whatever. You know, I mean, it's very explosive stuff. But the way Yahweh put it for us to drink now, there is a separation, but that could be unseparated. And from what he was seeing and what he told me from the lesson is that this could actually take place. But he said, speaking of the heavens, he said the whole atmosphere in which all of the terrestrial vapors are lodged, and as water itself is composed of two gases, 85 parts of in weight of oxygen and 15 of hydrogen, or two parts in volume of the latter and one in the former. He says, for if these quantities be put together and several electric sparks. Now, he was talking about something other than what we have. We can't separate these with electricity, but something other than we have could separate this. Or something coming from a nuclear explosion, which puts forth radiation and heat at the same time. He says, put a drop of water, which he did, on an anvil. Place over it a piece of iron, red hot. Strike the iron with a hammer on the part above the drop of water, which he did, and the report will be as loud as a musket. And of course, if you do that, be careful, because it can blow the plate off of the anvil really, really easy. Most people don't know what an anvil is. An anvil is something that the blacksmiths used in their shops, but you could place this on any piece of iron and do the same thing and see the explosion that he was talking about. He says the hydrogen and the oxygen airs or gases, he said, the former of which is most highly flammable, and the latter an eminent supporter of all combustion, will occupy regions of the atmosphere. And he was thinking that burning would actually take place throughout the atmosphere, because the elements, that's the four elements, your fire, your air, your earth, and so forth, the four elements of life today. He says, and he says the elements are going to melt, as we're going to see. Well, what we're seeing here is the prophet Malachi trying to explain to mankind what's going to take place. There is going to be a protection for Yahweh's people in all of this. If there wasn't, you'd be burned up. There's nothing to look forward to outside of Yahweh here. It won't be there. It won't be left. In fact, what is going to be resurrected, you're going to resurrect it yourself. The rest of it is going to be burned up, what Yahweh doesn't protect in this time period that we're approaching very rapidly now. I keep pointing out to you, we're in the last generation. Surely anyone should know that by now who's been coming to the house of Yahweh. We're in the last generation. Yeshua said, when you see these things, that's the last generation. That's in Matthew 24, where he also talks about this great burning that's going to take place. Well, Matthew 24 shows the nuclear bomb. And, of course, that will darken the sun. The scientists know this, that it is going to darken the sun. I have an article that actually shows that even a small amount of nuclear wars, not a full all-out war, nuclear war, but a small one would actually destroy mankind. There would be no survival. I don't think I brought that with me, but I do have it. I think I read it the last time I spoke. But this burning that's going to take place, it's going to melt the four elements in heaven. And they're going to be melted, Yahweh says. Now, to what extent? I don't know. It doesn't describe fully. But they will be melted. The devastation that we see described in the scriptures, which I won't be able to cover fully today, but I do intend to, the devastation that we're going to see this. We're going to witness what sin brings. Now, just the thought of this and knowing we have nuclear bombs in this time period, we've never had them before in 6,000 years. Moses didn't have a bomb. He didn't have a firecracker. He didn't have dynamite. None of the prophets did, but they spoke of it. How did they know it was going to be? They couldn't be as stupid as a disbeliever and know this, could they? They'd have to be far above a so-called atheist to know this. Yeshua was far above them too when he said, you're going to see the sun darken from wars, from hatred, hatred among the nations. Did you ever see such hatred before? It's never been this visible. It might have been here, but it hasn't been this visible because now we have it to where we can see it. We can see what's going on in Russia. Has there ever been a time that mankind could do this before until knowledge was increased? All of these things are saying to us, the time is here. We're in the last generation. Now, for the person who still wants to say, I don't believe, you know, you got to be the stupidest person on the face of the earth. Your brain must be clogged totally with marijuana or something. And they're wanting you to do this even more now. They're making that legal where you can go out and really dose your mind up and butcher it some more. You know, the people are having a hard time even thinking now, you know, and they're giving them more cocaine. By the way, the heroin, it's a killer. And of course, people are still taking it. Still committing suicide with it. Well, this is going to put a stop to all of that. All of your drugs is going to disappear. There won't be any more drugs. There won't be any drugs in your veins ever again. You won't be eating pork ever again. You know, that's going to stop also. And you won't be following any priest to eat pork. There's not going to be any priest to teach eating pork anymore. This is going to burn them up. As you see here, this is not like an oven on a stove. Yes, it's going to burn like an oven. I've seen people take a healthy meal and stick it in an oven, turn the oven on, and walk off to do something. Now you come back, you can pretty much see what this world's going to be like by opening that oven door and the smoke coming out, you know, and hitting you in the face. And, oh, well, this is our dinner, huh? Yeah. You did it again, huh? Yeah. I told you so. Well, you notice all the proud. Yes, and all who do wickedly. Now, this do wickedly, that means evil, as you see in Genesis 5, verse 3, where Satan says, you won't die. Go ahead and do evil, and you will be like the gods. Do evil and be like the gods. Well, there will be none of that left here. They're going to be burned up at this time in this generation. Not another generation, but this generation. Now the second death awaits for 1,000 years. But before that's before we resurrect these people, all the wicked, all who do wickedly, all who practice evil, like the Catholic Church is teaching them to do, like Christianity is teaching them to do, yesterday, that's one of their lies taking place, yesterday was Easter. Easter, where they went hunting colored eggs laid by a rabbit. Laid by a rabbit. Now, of course, December's coming where they have a fat man dressed like the Pope who comes down a chimney. And he's driving reindeers through the sky. You know, big lies. Nothing but lies in their religion. And of course, when they tell you you're going to live forever, yeah, like Santa Claus, you mean, coming down the chimney, or like a rabbit laying eggs? Is that the same? Is that what I have to look forward to? You know, wake up just a little, Francis, and see what you're teaching these people. Why don't you tell them this is all lies and let them go home? But they're going to be stubble. The day that comes, this day, Yeshua said, is going to come in this generation. This generation, we're seeing these things that he said to look for, and what he's told us to look for, he said, that generation is not going to pass until this takes place. This great burning takes place. That's going to burn up the evil, the wicked, the drug users, the pork eaters, and so forth. If you're out in the world and hearing this broadcast, I can warn you that pork is in almost every product you can buy on the market. We have people that are working full time in the house of Yahweh to stay up with the products that we buy to make sure that they don't have pork or pork blood or baby parts. They're even putting baby parts in them. Yes, there's big money in abortion. If there wasn't money in abortion, it wouldn't be pushed by the pharmaceuticals and by the churches. Yes, there's big money, and they have their money invested in it, and they don't want you to say anything about it. They don't want you to stop abortion. And your taxes, now people are raising hell because of their taxes being used to kill babies. So they're making a little bit of a showing now. But they still won't repent. The world still won't repent of this. It will be stubble. The day that comes will burn them up. That day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts. And it will leave them neither root nor branch. Nothing is going to be left of the evildoers that Satan coaxed in Genesis 5, verse 3, to be like the gods. And of course, when Pope Francis was kissing that idol yesterday in front of everyone, there's people saying, oh, how holy this man is. You know, this has nothing to do with righteousness. You could kiss that baby till you'll burn in hell. And what righteousness would you have at your credit? Wake up. Wake up a little bit. Wake up. It's like a colored Easter egg or Easter goddess. What does it have to do with righteousness? Nothing. It has everything to do with evil. It distracts you from your studies of the Holy Scriptures that will show you where the house of Yahweh is, where you can actually find righteousness, and where you can find joy if you'll set your mind to do it. But you've got to set your mind to do it. Well, in verse 2, but for you who reverence the name Yahweh. Yes, his name is Yahweh. Even the Pope admits that. All the people who worship gods admit his name is Yahweh. The Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, took his name out of the Holy Scriptures, and they admit taking his name out of reverence for Yahweh. Oh, they just loved him so much, they took his name out and put some false gods in its place. the lies that people fall for today. You know, their minds are so clogged with trichna that comes from eating pork, and of course all the other sins, the STDs and so forth, they don't even know a lie when it's being told to them. Those who reverence the name, the light of righteousness, that's the laws of righteousness. This is your righteousness if you will do these. That's Deuteronomy 6:25. The light of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings, and you will go out leaping like calves from the stall. And you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes. They will be ashes. You know, when Satan told the people, do this wickedness, do this evil, be like the gods, the prophet, the great prophet of Yahweh, Malachi, prophesied this and says they're going to be ashes. Well, of course, that is going to be true. More than one prophet spoke of this. The Savior spoke of it. But I'm telling you, it's going to be soon. It's in this generation, scheduled for this generation. There'll be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I will do this, says Yahweh. Remember the laws of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded through him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Remember them? First, you got to know them. That's the reason the first thing the house of Yahweh did when it was established, we put the 613 laws out and put it into action and put it in a book where anyone can see it and study these laws and learn them and learn the beauty and see how these will bring peace. It's the only thing that will bring peace. It'll also bring joy and love. It'll bring healthy minds and healthy bodies. Behold, I will send Eliyah, which is the laws and the prophets. That's what the word Eliyah means, which is the strength of Yahweh before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. That's what he's doing right now. He says, in the last days, I will establish my house. For what purpose? I will send the strength of Yahweh. Send it to the people, the strength of Yahweh. The strength of Yahweh is the laws of Yahweh. That's why the house of Yahweh was established in the last days. And Yahshua said, in the same chapter where he said, this is the generation that will not pass away till all of this is going to be fulfilled. He said in verse 14 that this is going to take place. The strength of Yahweh is going to be preached to all the world. We are reaching all the world, brethren, in more ways than one. I just read to you where we're reaching it with the news media today. The news media is carrying this message of Yahweh for us. We're also taking it by internet and by television and radio across the world, global, throughout the world. It can be reached, and it's bringing people to the house of Yahweh. Yes, from many nations. Praise Yahweh. I see you cheering. You're a beautiful sight from Africa, I say. Praise Yahweh. The strength of Yahweh. And Yahshua said in Matthew 24, I think it's 14, when our work is finished, then the end will come. That's exactly what Revelation 9 said too. In the days of this seventh work, Yahweh said, in the days of this seventh work, when he's done his job, that's it. It's finished. And the people, the wicked, are going to be burned up, leaving them neither root nor branch for 1,000 years. 1,000 years they won't be able to teach or write or publish or anything that will deceive. 1,000 years, due to the efforts of your work, this is going to take place. And it will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. We can see that in action. And even the world, when this is going on and they see it, they stand in awe and they say, you know, we should have done this. Our parents should have done this for us. Why didn't we do this? Why wasn't this shown to us when we were children? And why haven't we already taken this out and been teaching this to the children already? What's holding us up back? Why didn't we do this? Before I come and strike the earth with the curse, or before I turn it loose, as is shown in Revelation. Now, that's our job, of course, to take this out. Now, back to the burning. Let's go over to Kepha. Second Kepha 3. Found on page 963, if that helps you, in the book of Yahweh. If you don't have a book of Yahweh, you really need to get one. Second Kepha 3. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens. Look for new heavens. Well, if you understand what he's saying here, you know, and you know the rest of the scriptures, you know that there's going to be a hellacious burning take place in the heavens. The stars are going to fall from heaven. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat, Yahweh says. Now, that could take place with the water, the water, the H2O, as I just read you. Biology knows this. They know this can do this. I'd urge you, if you don't understand what I'm saying, take a course in that or something. You know, anything to educate you, to make you believe the scriptures. I knew it before I ever took biology. I took biology to back up the scriptures, not to prove the scriptures, but use it in my lessons to prove to others what the scriptures are saying. And a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth, in which only righteousness dwells. Do you see that? Only righteousness. Only those who keep the laws of Yahweh is going to be left alive to dwell in this new portion that's taking place for 1,000 years. This is going to go in that direction. 1,000 years. Satan, that's right. Satan is going to be restrained for 1,000 years. Let's go over to Isaiah 24 now with this in mind. Isaiah 24, because Yahweh shows you here, and he keeps warning mankind, including the Catholic Church, all Christianity, the Muslim world, all the religions of the world. He keeps warning them that this is going to take place. I'm warning you now, it is very, very near. We're in the last generation. This generation will not pass away till this takes place. This great burning that's going to take place. And unless you repent and convert, as Acts 3:19 tells you, repent of sin, that's evil, following the gods that Satan got mankind to do in Genesis 3 verse 5, and was practiced throughout the Holy Scriptures, being condemned throughout the Holy Scriptures, by the prophets of Yahweh, it's going to cease. Well, Yahweh shows here now in Isaiah 24, and with this in mind now, of a new heaven and a new earth, because the first one is going to pass away. You know, pass away, they say, well, he passed away. Well, it means the same thing. He passed away. It's going to be burned. And the extreme burning that's going to take place is shown to be extreme. And I'm not sure I can exaggerate it enough, but I am going to try. Behold, Yahweh makes the earth empty, makes it waste. You better believe what he's saying. He allows the face of it to be perverted. and scatters abroad the inhabitants, and it will be as with the people, so with these priests that they're following. Yes, the people and the priests they're following, their houses of gods that they're following, as with the servants, the mistresses, the maids, the sellers, the buyers, and those who take usury and gives usury to him, the land will be utterly emptied. The land will be utterly emptied, utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away, the world mourns and fades away, and the haughty people of the earth languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants of it, because they've transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. That should be enough to make the Pope or all the religions repent and want to start following righteousness. You see the cause of this. The cause is breaking the laws of Yahweh. Mankind practicing breaking the laws with teachers such as Francis going around kissing idols and giving out a handout to the poor on Easter. They come back the next day to get because they're hungry and they say, oh no, that's just once a year. Well, what am I going to eat till next Easter? Well, go find you some of them leftover eggs, I guess. There's probably a few more out there. If not, eat the rabbit. You'll find him. You see how much sense it makes? It's a little bit crazy, isn't it? Well, they give you another meal on Christmas if you can get to be the first in line. They only allow so many in the room, so you got to be among the first 10 to get that meal. And you can get that once a year if you're the first in line, one of the 10. Well, the cause of this burning here that takes place, because of this, the curse, because they've transgressed the laws, they changed the ordinance and broken the everlasting covenant, weakening the law to where it can't do its part. It's like, if you'll think about Adam again now, and he sinned, he and Eve sinned, and Yahweh said, Adam, you know, you got to be a fool. You know, now the land won't produce for you. You know, it's going to withdraw its strength from you. The microorganisms won't work for you anymore, Adam. You're going to have to plow and till, and vines and weeds and everything else is going to start coming up, because the microorganisms that was working for you won't do it anymore. They're afraid of you now. They're afraid that you're going to do even more harm than you've already done. Then Cain comes along and does even more. Here comes murder. And the murderous blood cries out. Who is crying out? It was the microorganisms crying out. Stop hurting us. We have a job to do. Don't be doing this anymore. And still it went on. Because of this, this curse has devoured the earth. They who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned. Burned and few men live. The only ones left is going to be those that are following Yahweh, not evil. They're going to disappear. Look at verse 10. The cities of confusion. Cities of confusion, notice, are broken down. Every house is shut up so no man can enter. Under quarantine, it's going to be worse than it was in the 1918 and 1919, in those 2 years. Look at verse 18. And it will come to pass that he who flees from the noise, this noise is what the biology teacher was stressing. He said, put one single drop of water on an anvil. Cover it with a hot iron, a red hot iron, and hit that iron right over the water bead on the anvil. And he said, the noise will be like an explosion of a musket. I don't know if you've ever heard a musket shot, but that's one of the old cap and ball pistols or rifles that they use for killing. Anyway, it makes a terribly loud noise. Now, he was comparing this, of course, he and I were, to the noise, this noise that's going to take place in the end time burning that's going to take place. And he's saying, he was saying, that this water, the H2O, could actually, under certain circumstances, be separated and brought to an explosive state throughout the universe. Now, throughout the universe, imagine this. The elements of the heavens will melt, he said, with fervent heat. With fervent heat. I don't think you could explode enough nuclear bombs to do this, but nuclear bombs could actually turn this thing around, the water that Yahweh has for drink. For drink? Yes, you can actually drink H2O. That's two different gases mixed together. It's called water, and you can drink it the way Yahweh made it. But with a certain something taking place with it, then it could be a very explosive unit, just like you see when you mix it in a torch. The noise, he said, he who flees from the noise of the fear will fall into the pit. He who comes up from the mist of the pit will be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open. If you remember, I'll bring more on this, but try to remember Genesis, where Yahweh separated the waters from the waters in the firmament. The waters above the firmament from the waters below the firmament. Remember that. And when he talks about the windows, and then remember the flood, when he opened the windows of heaven and allowed this flood to take place. And then later he put this waters back above the firmament again. Well, the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaking. Now, if you just think what a fearful mess this is going to be, and if I didn't warn you ahead of time, if Yahweh doesn't warn us ahead of time, we have nothing to look forward to but fear. The thing that we have to do is get this set in our mind, what is going to take place here very shortly, and don't fear. Because we've got people coming here and going to be piling in on us, and you're going to have to teach them in the midst of all of this how to get close to Yahweh right away. They're learning now. This is going out to them. They are learning the laws. They're studying the laws in bits and pieces, but they are learning, and they're showing Yahweh that they are wanting to do what is righteous. And of course, he's well aware of this that's taking place. But get this now. Get it. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. Now, if you can imagine, if you see an earthquake and somebody in a office building and they're stumbling back and forth because that building is moving, or if you get on a something that is moving, a rail car or something like that, you can imagine what it's like. Well, the earth is going to be doing that. It's going to be reeling to and fro at that time. And that time is no time to have fear overtake you and you start acting like a mama's flower, you know, the blooming idiot. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is dissolved. Dissolved? You get that? The heat? Yes, Yahweh can protect you from that too. He's going to protect you from that if that's your only protection. It's coming. the thing of it is, the nuclear explosions could kill you. But there's more, I'm telling you, there's more going to come from that, because this earth is going to be dissolved clean, as Yahweh says. It's defiled right now, and it's going to be dissolved clean. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard, and will sway like a hut. Because the transgressions in it will be heavy upon it, it will fall and not rise again. It's going to be a very bleak picture unless you get your mind prepared for it now in advance, and there's not too much time left to get your mind prepared for this event that's going to take place. It's going to take place very soon. Notice the cause there. Please notice the cause. The transgressions. Transgressions of Yahweh's law. 1 John 3:4. Don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices righteousness, be turning over to Isaiah 65. 1 John 3:4. Sin is the transgression of the law. He who practices righteousness is righteous. But he who practices breaking the law belongs to Satan, the devil, and her demons, her gods. They're the ones that eat pork. They follow the priest who eats swine's flesh. You know of any priest that eats swine's flesh? Not in the house of Yahweh. But do you know of any priest who eats swine's flesh out there? 65, Isaiah 65. Look at verse 4. Who assemble these same priests who eat swine's flesh, who assemble and spend nights keeping memorials to the dead, that's Halloween, who eat swine's flesh. So they practice Halloween. That's a worship of the gods. There was a new one. Who was this new one that they just put in as a god? John Paul II. John Paul II. Now, they are building him up as if he can answer your prayers. He's dead, and he can't answer your prayers at all. But the demon who stands beside him, you know, could actually enter your body. The demons that these people worship, and they go to the grave, and they pray to these, they think they're praying to this dead person. That dead person can't hear them. They know nothing. They know nothing, not anything, the scripture said. But the demons, if there's a demon present around that, or if he's present when you're having trouble sleeping and you're begging this spirits to enter your body, it could certainly do so at that time. They can't enter your body. If you're a House of Yahweh member, you belong to Yahweh. They can't bother you. They can't bother you. But if you turn, and under the right circumstances, yes, they can take over your mind, and you can start doing all kinds of stupid things. Well, Isaiah here, he shows Isaiah 65, still speaking now of this disintegration of the heavens and the earth. They assemble themselves, that's the wicked, who assemble themselves. These are the 12 tribes of Israel who spread this profanity throughout the whole earth. Wars and everything. They're the cause of wars today throughout the earth. Who assemble and spend nights keeping memorials to the dead and eat swine's flesh. And the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, that is, their blood vessels. These are drugs that's in their blood vessels that they take to cure their diseases with, but they're also trichna, STDs, and so forth, who say these are the ones now, these sick, confused minds are saying, stand by yourself, do not come near me, I'm a separatist. That's what the Pharisees were. They were separatists. They separated themselves because they were holier. Well, now they're on the seven hills of Rome. Pope Francis knows that he is one of these. He knows this. He knows where he came from. He knows the bloodline, the keys of this blood. For I am holier than you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. These are the ones that start the fire that burns all day. If you will look to Isaiah 66 now, Isaiah 66, verse 17, they who sanctify themselves, purify themselves in the gardens, following after the priest in the midst of those who eat swine's flesh, that which is offered to gods. Read again, Genesis 3, verse 5. Do this evil, you'll be like the gods. Those who offer to the gods, that which is offered to the gods, and the rodent will be consumed together. They'll be consumed together, says Yahweh. Now, remember, got to get two more scriptures in. Go back, hold your place there in Isaiah. And turn over to 2 Kefa 3 again. 2 Kefa 3. 2 Kefa 3. This was the man, the Apostle Kefa was the man they named Peter. They changed his name to Peter. And of course, they did this out of wickedness and showing their hatred for this man. Because he stood up for righteousness, he told them, you're like a bunch of pigs who after you're washed, turn back to the wallowing in the mire. You're like dogs who, after you vomit, you go back and eat it. So they did with him as they did with all their enemies. They killed them. Circe, the one where they got the church from, she started a very large business. They were killing so many people, it was hard to bury them. Bury the dead, that was a big job. So she started feeding them to the swine. The swine will eat people. People have heart attacks in hog pens and they get eaten. Sometimes they find nothing but the bones left. Sometimes they find them half eaten or so forth. Circe turned this into a huge business. That's where you get the word church. That's where the word church comes from. Circe, the woman, the evil woman who picked up the dead bodies or had her workers pick up the dead bodies and carry them to the pig pen, raise the pigs, and then sold the pigs for meat. This is how evil this thing is that you're worshiping out there in the world. I'm not lying to you. You've inherited nothing but lies throughout this 6,000 years come down to you from Satan. Believe it when the scripture says, Revelations 12:9, Satan has deceived the whole world. You're a fool if you don't believe it, Yeshua says, Luke 24, verse 25. Well, here in 2 Kefa now, 3 and verse 10. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night upon the unbelievers. You're going to expect it, so it won't become a thief on come as a thief to you. In which the heavens will pass away with, notice, a great noise. A great noise. Now, this couldn't come with nuclear devices exploded on earth unless it has something to do with a great explosion transferring these two gases, as the biologist said, transferring two gases that we call water back from a substance that which Yahweh formed it, where you could actually use it to drink and bathe and so forth, but transferring it like we do in a torch back to a burning, explosive, combustible form. And with that, I can see how nuclear bombs with the earth enough to shake the earth, and then causing the firmament to react in a way. I could see this all taking place with a great noise, as if you put one drop of water on an anvil, placed a red-hot piece of iron over it, and hit the iron with a hammer over the one drop of water. Make sure you use shields if you do this, because it does explode. Great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This is not going to be a slight thing. This is going to be extreme. And your hope, brethren, is going to have to be in Yahweh. If you leave the house of Yahweh, if you leave the protected place, you will be caught in the snares of this world. As the prophet said, you're a fool if you don't believe it. Since all these things will then be dissolved, brethren, that's going to take fervent heat to dissolve the elements of the earth and the heavens. Fervent heat. But yes, Yahweh has protection for you. He says he does, and he will protect you. Since all these things will then be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? In holy conduct and righteousness. Well, I think you should surely see what you should be by now. Let's go back now to Isaiah. Isaiah 34. Verse 1. Isaiah 34, verse 1. He says, come near to hear, you nations, and listen, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that's in it, the world, and all things that come forth from it. Come and listen to me. Look at verse 3. Also, their slain will be cast out of their, and their stink. Also, their slain will be cast out, and their stink will come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains, the uplifted places, will be melted along with their blood. Along with their blood. It'll come up, and along with their blood will be melted, and all the host of heaven will be dissolved. Actually be dissolved, and the heavens will be rolled together like a scroll. All their host will fall down as the leaf that falls from the vine, and the figs falling from the fig tree. Now turn back over to Isaiah 66. You are still going to be alive because you're going to be in a protected place, and you've got to depend on this. There is nothing you can depend on except this. You could search the world throughout all eternity and you won't find any hope except what is right here. And this is proven to be. He proves it. He tells you what step to take to avoid it. He tells you what is going to be next. He has told you, you're in the last generation. Now, you see the things taking place that are prophesied right now, right in front of your eyes. You see the hatred in the world. You saw that on the news clipping that was shown there, and how they're actually planning these wars. Well, Yahweh has plans too. His purpose was to make man in his image, after his likeness, and give them authority to guard and keep, so there will be sin never again. Well, look at verse 22. For as the new heavens, he's going to build new heavens, and the new earth. Here we see a new earth, which I will make will remain before me. Well, from what I can see and hear right now, there is a new earth. Much bigger than this one, which would take care of all the dead that we do intend to resurrect. It will take care of the all of the children that will be born for many thousands of years, millions of years. But there is a new earth that's several times bigger than this one, already built and uninhabited. But it is inhabitable. They know that already. And I will also take for them, for priests, verse 21, and for Levites, says Yahweh, and as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will remain before me, says Yahweh, so will your seed. Your seed, he's talking about the seed of the witness, by the way. It's going to start with you, brother. You are my seed. Yes. For as your seed and your name, he who rules as Yahweh rules. That's your name. He gives it to you when you become a part of this family. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to worship before me, says Yahweh. Yes, you'll still have flesh. Yes, Yahweh is flesh, in fact. We're made after the image and likeness of Yahweh. He has a head. He has hair. He has fingers and toes. He thinks, too, and he uses his brain for righteousness. Well, they're going to worship before Yahweh every Sabbath day. Do you notice that? Every Sabbath, from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another. So, Francis, with all your efforts, you didn't stop the appointments with Yahweh. I know you tried. You're like a dog barking in the wind. And with all your knowledge that you got from Satan, it's like reaching out and getting a handful of air. And your head is still as empty as your head. That's where you stand right now. You need to repent, Francis. Truly repent and turn to Yahweh. Repent and be converted. But let my people go now. Verse 24, and they will go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm will not die, nor will their fire be quenched, and they will be an abhorrence to all flesh. Well, this is not a pretty picture, but it's a picture that will remain with you forever, because you're going to see this. Yeshua says you're going to see all of this. And you're going to be witnesses throughout all eternity to those who would ever want again to practice sin. Sin never again. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!